The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 12 minutes after 8, I don't know what it is about me, but I love talking to people, the legal eagles, the people who delve into what is going on, both good and negative going on. And one of my favorites is Kristen Roberts. And she is an intellectual property rights attorney, or an intellectual property attorney, deals regularly in this really specific field of trademark and copyright law, licensing, enforcement, and legislation. And she also worked as an adjunct law professor teaching intellectual property courses, heavily involved in giving back to the community. Tressel Law Firm, Tressel Law. How are you doing this morning, Kristen? Great to have you back on. Good morning.
Great to be back, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. And, you know, you're the type of person that gets involved when, let's say, somebody does a song and it sounds a lot like somebody else's song, right? And then they go to court for it, right? Like, I was thinking about that, you know, some of the copyright infringements or the stealing, all that kind of, that's your bread and butter of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Or if somebody calls themselves McDougal's and then McDonald's gets upset, right? You know?
Right, the golden arcs, not the golden arches, right?
Yeah, that kind of thing. You'll kind of laugh about this. I had a former father-in-law, not father-in-law, a stepfather many years ago, back in the 80s, named his firm Macrosoft. And you can imagine what happened with him over in Seattle after a while, right?
Yeah, definitely not confusingly similar at all.
not at all, that kind of stuff. But be that as it may, I wanted to talk about a pretty serious thing because you're bringing this up here recently because we have ChatGPT and other AI companies being sued by major journalism companies. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to that when we're consuming so much online news, are you reading something that a human wrote or are you just looking at kind of like an AI copyright law pirate, I guess, just vacuuming up all sorts of newspaper articles, right? And how is that working and what's in play here, especially when you were told, hey, we have to go down with AI on everything? What say you, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's sort of a double-edged sword, especially when we think about the impact that AI is having on journalists and newsrooms. You know, it can help summarize things, right? Especially if in this day and age, news is so fast. Mm-hmm. That it often comes down to who can get there the quickest. And sometimes AI can be used as a great tool to help sort of summarize things and get information to you quickly. Hey, what's going on with this? Summarize this for me really fast so that you can then write the article, you know, if you're working in one of these newsrooms or you're a journalist. It can help you get the information out there faster. But part of that double-edged sword is that it also, you know, reduces traffic to original sources when you're using AI to help you find, you know, as a consumer. It cuts into ad revenue. It de-incentivizes, you know, original reporting, which is, you know, labor-intensive and costly. And you know, especially when in this day and age, we're really trying to cut costs, particularly on the journalism side of things. You know,
which means cutting people. That's always what it means.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, the same newsrooms losing jobs are the ones that are seeing their content scraped by AI with no compensation. So it really becomes unsustainable. And we really do need some kind of either legislation or case precedent in place to help at least start guiding us on what the next best step is going to be here.
Mm. What do you think is going to be the effect of what's happening with ChatGPT right now? They're being accused essentially of stealing other people's work and making it available for essentially pennies.
Its way,
right?
Yeah, and that case is making its way through the courts right now. That has a potentially large impact, you know, in terms of precedent setting. But, you know, as we know, the legal system is slow. And so it's, you know, it was filed in 2023. So that was, you know, it's making its way through the system right now. But I also think we are seeing some efforts on the part of large AI companies like, you know, OpenAI, Microsoft, whose partner is Microsoft, mm-hmm. Going to Congress and saying, hey, we need to be able to scrape this data or scrape this content because we need to stay in competition with our adversaries like China. And they're calling it a national security risk. They're saying, if we aren't able to do this, we're now, you know, going to be undercut by the Chinese government. You don't want that to happen. So
don't you find it interesting, though, Kristen, by the way, Kristen Roberts, intellectual property attorney here with me. Don't you find it interesting that being able to steal other people's stuff and rewrite it and make it your own is somehow considered a national security issue?
I do. Huh? I find it a very interesting argument. And I suspect, and I don't know for sure, but I've been following this for a while. I suspect that there was a recent case that was just decided between Thomson Reuters and an AI platform. They were using headings. The AI platform was taking the legal research platform Westlaw's headings and was using those headings, because those headings are free. You can see those without a subscription, but they are independently written and created, so they are subject to copyright protection. And Reuters was arguing that AI platform taking it and using it to train its AI was infringement. And the court recently did come down with an opinion on that, saying that actually, yeah, it is not fair use. It is infringement, but they only applied it very narrowly to that case. Mm. However, I do see that is a potential precedent that you can at least extrapolate to the next case and the next case, and we can start building on it. And so I think that there is some concern with AI platforms like, you know, OpenAI, seeing these precedents starting to come down and wanting to kind of cut through the crap cake, so to speak, as fast as they possibly can.
Cut through the crap cake. Is that a official legal term?
It is a term, legal term of art that I am now sharing with you. Yes, absolutely. No, but we lawyers try to do it all the time, right? I mean, I think going to Congress and saying, oh, well, we need this. And right now, national security is a huge concern. So if they can get Congress on their side about this national security issue and saying, hey, look, we understand that there are intellectual property issues at play, but national security is always the bigger concern. Hmm. You know, they may be able to bend some ears to get what they want. And I think that's particularly concerning.
Yeah, especially when people are having difficulty enough getting paid for what they do write or create, you know, out there in many cases. And that's what you work to do to help make sure they get paid. Now, Kristen, being a talk show host, I'm on all sorts of email lists of various groups. And, you know, you'll see this stuff that comes into your inbox, and they're news. They'll be like little online news zines, right? News magazines of some sort, or little newsletters. And they'll all have, in my particular case, it'll be steadfast and loyal and this and that and the other.
Right.
And so you click on it, and they've got a bunch of news stories up there. And of course, I'm a guy from the right. I admit this. And so, but you can see how it's all bothered. And they do just do this. I swear a lot of these places are already using AI, because I know they're getting articles that I may have read in the Epic Times or even the New York Times that just seem to have been gathered up, put in the blender, and then spit out. This is the kind of stuff that we're talking about fighting with the ChatGPT story, right?
Yeah, and I think it's important to distinguish that, you know, blending it up and spitting it out, that's really where the issue of copyright infringement becomes muddled, because, you know, if it's sufficiently transformative, meaning if you take, you know, you can only rewrite news articles so many ways, right? Like there's no, you know, it's really hard to say, well, they wrote it this way, you know, now no one else can write a news article about that story. Everyone's writing the same, you know, stories about the same happening.
That's true.
The question becomes whether that regurgitation or that spit out by an AI model is substantially the same to another human written article. And I think that one of the things that we need with respect to legislation is things like labeling requirements. We should be able to know whether something was generated with AI or not, or had AI had a hand in it. I think that can be helpful, so you know what it is that you're consuming. You know, I also think requirements for, you know, compulsory licensing. So when AI is used in something and they're using your, you know, material to train its AI, you automatically get, you know, a little bit of money. You get a payout. There's a compulsory license attached to it. And we see that all the time in music.
Like a micro payment of sorts, right?
Exactly. Exactly. If we're able to do it in music, why are we not able to do it, you know, in this sort of scenario?
I think they're making a really good point. You're making a really good point on this one. The thing is, now the bots are not able to reach behind a paywall for a journalism organization, or are they that good that they can get past some of that stuff? Do you know?
Well, I think the concern isn't that they're able to reach behind the paywall, but there are so many ways to that humans can get around paywalls by putting them on different sites and doing certain things to do that, that it becomes very easy for the AI can search the internet now. This isn't, you know, where it's
it's not just a matter of going to and searching FoxNews.com or NewYorkTimes.com, you know, that kind of thing. All right.
That's right. Now, if you do any research with AI, because I admit it, I use AI to see what it generates back. You know, I like to see what it does, and AI will give you sources. So when you ask it for things like, hey, you know, tell me about this happening or this issue that happened with this, you know, Supreme Court case that just came down, it will give you sources for what it's finding on the internet, and then you can go pull those sources and go look at those sources that it has been citing. Because oftentimes I'll tell you, those sources that are what it's saying that they found in those sources, it's not exactly what those sources are saying. Sometimes it conflates what the sources it's referencing says. So it is fallible. It's not a perfect system. So it does still require a level of human intervention to make sure that what you're reading is accurate, to make sure what you're researching is, you know, right. And I think that still is not saving us a little bit, but I think that it makes, gives us a little bit more control over it rather than just saying, oh, it's going to spit out everything and it's right and it's perfect. It still has its weird little quirk.
I think it would be wise, though, to require over time, a label. You know, a label be put on it. Hey, this was written with the help of artificial intelligence, et cetera, rather than, okay, hey, a real human actually wrote this. Thank you very much. And I've kind of started thinking about a while here is AI. We're told that we can't fight progress, that there's no way to resist this. I don't know. There could be a push for, you know, how the younger generations talk about, hey, I want an authentic experience. I want authenticity. How about like authentic people actually doing authentic work and sharing?
I mean, Bill, you bring up an excellent point, because when we talk about authenticity, you have to ask yourself, well, what does authenticity really mean when an entire generation spends the majority of its time on social media looking at what they believe to be people, but half the ads you see are actually AI generated humans. They're not even people.
Yeah. And half of the posts on a lot of these social media platforms are bots that are doing it.
And I will say, though, that we are seeing the labeling starting in social media. So platforms like Facebook and TikTok, Meta and TikTok are asking you, when you create a post, they're asking you to tick a box as to whether or not it's AI generated. So we are starting to see some of that being an option, but I would prefer it to be more of a requirement than an option.
Good.
Especially because, you know, people will reshare things. I just saw a video the other day, and it was an ad. We're seeing this a lot in advertisements. I just saw an advertisement the other day for, because Easter's coming up. So there was a toy rabbit, and you could buy this like toy rabbit.
It's the walking little toy rabbit toy. It's on everything, right?
Right. And it's funny because I can tell that that ad is 100% AI generated because of the way this quote unquote toy rabbit is moving in the ad. It moves too smoothly. It looks too, the features are too soft. It's not, you can tell it's not the toy you're actually going to get.
Yeah.
So that leads me to be concerned about things like false advertising, potential consumer protection issues that we're going to be running into when we start using AI to run ads for products, and then you buy the product and it's not what you saw in the ad.
Can't tell you how many times there was the picture in the ad, and then we got something from China, and it was like this tiny little representation. It's like it looked like it was going to be like a glass hanging, you know, on the wall, like a big picture.
Yep.
And ended up being like, two by two.
But we also see that happen a lot in, where people, the goal is just to drive the cost down in the final product as much as possible, and then to, you know, get as big of a, you know, it's all about margin. So the people that can... some companies have really no qualms as long as they can make their margins that they're looking for in putting out a product that is just really subpar.
Yeah. The bottom line, though, on when you were talking about micropayments for news organizations, including ones that I actually like and support, you know, that kind of thing, I think that's going to have to be something which is brought up, because I think this whole idea, I don't think people are going to be able to afford to be able to purchase access to every Substack you want to read, every online news source that you want to read. Otherwise, you just go broke. It's kind of like, trying to go a la carte cable with cable TV, you know, that sort of thing. But maybe if we get to the point where, all right, here's my media budget, and anywhere I want to go, I can go there, but everybody gets a cut of everything if I like what's going on there, you know, that kind of thing. And they do this. Yeah. They do this in the musical world. Why not in online news and information? I think that's actually pretty good, don't you?
I agree. I agree with you. And the concern that I have in getting there is we need an act of Congress to help with that. We need legislation, and we all know how functional our Congress is right now. So
it's perfect. It's perfectly fine. It is not as chaotic as it looks. Really, it's not. Oh, wait a minute. My nose is growing. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I also see there being a problem where we're already getting this, you know, these companies going to Congress and sort of priming, I would say like priming the pump, so to speak, like, you know, saying, they're planting the seed of like national security issues. So that they can sort of try and get what they want. And if Congress is facing national security versus getting, you know, a piece of legislation passed that gets people paid, I don't know what they're going to prioritize. I mean, I think I know what they're going to prioritize, and I don't think it's going to be getting people paid, unfortunately, if they truly believe there to be this risk.
Well, I would disagree with that risk, but, you know, we'll agree to this on that thing.
I agree with you.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Kristen Roberts, once again, intellectual property attorney and founder of Trestle Law, Trestle Law.com. If you have any problems with intellectual property, you wanted to find out more about it, she is the person. She is your go-to person on this. And you're in San Diego, if I recall, right? San Diego's where you are?
I am, but we help clients all over the country because it is a federally regulated practice area.
Yep, and people have to get paid, and a lot of people don't realize that. This is the price, the high price of free. Isn't that right, Kristen, what we're dealing with right now?
Oh, it always is.
Okay.
It always is.
Thank you for the call. We'll have you back, okay? Be well.
Thank you.
Kristen Roberts, TrestleLaw.com, 828 KMED. You're on the Bill Myers Show.
Kim.com. There's no save. Like
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
How you doing? It is open phones for the rest of Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We've given you a lot to chew on. Everything from, you know, the truth about what's going on with the Derek Chauvin case and what happened to him, the railroading of him. The officer, of course, some of the same people involved in the officer Sicknick repression of the medical deal in January 6th. Just all sorts of stuff. Great Conspiracy Theory Thursday conversation. There was also Dr. John West, who was on in the 7 o'clock hour early part about it, talking about Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, saying that, you know, so many devout Christians are actually just being, well, just dirtying themselves up in the secular culture and not really grounding themselves. I don't know if you have an opinion on that. We're giving you a lot to chew on. And then, of course, there is the everything's fake on the internet, and then what's not fake has been ripped off from other people. We'll have a little talk about that. Let me go to Chris. Hey, Chris, you had a question. Maybe somebody here in the Southern Oregon jury can help us out. You live in Rogue River, and what is your query or question? What do you say?
Well, Bill, I talked to someone on the schoolyard, and she said she didn't know what was being built. She thought it was a La Clinica, and I said, well, who's paying for it? Mm-hmm. You know, I always get down to who's paying for it.
All right, so what are you saying? What building are we talking about, and where is it?
It's between the Mexican restaurant and the elementary school, or the museum. There's a piece of property.
Yeah. What's the road? You know?
It's just off of. It's I don't know. It's right off Broadway.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can't. I did a look up in seeing if La Clinica was announcing a new clinic. I haven't been able to find any information on that yet, but I can't really tell you right now. But what I will do is that we'll throw it out to the Southern Oregon jury, and then we'll see what is that going to be. What is going in there? Okay.
I don't know about town hall meetings or anything like that to get stuff approved, but it seems like that's been quietly got just overnight, just getting built. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if a lot of times if you have a place that's already permitted for a particular type of use and everything's all combining and it's nothing all that controversial. I don't know if that necessarily goes into a town hall meeting unless you're camping out at the planning and commission meetings all the time, right? That kind of thing?
Right.
All right?
Right.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call, Chris. We'll see if we can find out. What's that building? That's it. We can have another one. It's the mysteries of government. What is that building? 770-563-3770-KMED. Now, what I appreciate about talk radio listeners is very much smarter than the average bear, in my view. Okay? I really appreciate that. But are we dumbing ourselves slowly? Are we becoming more stupid? I was reading an interesting study the other day. Financial Times had it out there. Russia Today ended up picking up a bunch of other stuff. I think it's worthy of talking about it. I'll share that on Conspiracy Theory Thursday after news. And, of course, your call's available, 770-5633. Hi, it's Bill Meyer. Listeners keep letting me know they're saving at Sky Park Insurance. Here's Stephanie from Shady Cove.
Disasters and $100 million emergency fund. Bill London, KMED.
837. Hey, Cheryl, how are you doing this morning? We had Chris who was posing the question, what is that building going in Rogue River next to the elementary school? Right?
It's called the Rogue River Early Education Elementary Extension.
Extension.
Huh. Yes.
Don't we know? I thought we normally had schools, just called it a school or something like part of that. Guess not?
No. Yep, it's the Rogue River Early Education Center, I believe is the correcting word to it.
All right, now, John ends up writing me here just a moment ago, and he says, this is a La Clinica. Now, maybe La Clinica is a part of that. Maybe that's part of the early education.
Oh. To my knowledge, no, and I'm working on the job site. No, it isn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, appreciate that, Cheryl. Thank you.
You bet.
All right.
Good day.
See, I love that when someone says, hey, do you know what this is? And I can't possibly be everywhere and know everything about every little corner of our Southern Oregon wonderful world. But sometimes people can help. If you want to weigh in, too, 770-5633.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
At Fontana Roofing, their roof replacement teams give homeowners honest advice every day. Let's check in and see what's new.
Did you see the relief on that homeowner's face with the good news that her roof had another 5 years of life left in it?
Yeah, she was pleased as punch. The bad news is that Nerf football I found up there has seen better days.
Indeed, but the good news is there's still enough granules to reflect light and heat away from the roof, preserving for now the asphalt underneath.
And the bad news is excessive UV rays and weather on that southern exposure makes those pebbles wear out faster and the wood sheeting could be eventually compromised.
And the good news is it's lunchtime and I've got coupons for tacos.
And the bad news is that I left my wallet at home.
That's not news.
Fontana Roofing is your local expert on residential re-roofs. Get an accurate news report on your roof today. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Welcome to the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
If you're like me, and I know I am, I tend to dial down as much video consumption as possible. There are times I get sucked into Facebook Reels, you know, that kind of thing, and then you have the you know, the weird funny dogs, and I'll do this same thing with YouTube. But there are a few that I subscribe to that I watch, and everything's fine. But when it comes to news, when it comes to news consumption, I tend to like reading. And I like reading for a lot of different reasons. And one of the main parts of it is I can scan it and get it much more quickly than a video, than someone giving me a video. And I can't tell you how many folks will send me, Bill, this is only a 45-minute video. Bill, this is a must-see video. And, you know, when you get a couple of hours on the weekend, you got to watch this one. I get this all the time. And God love you. I appreciate that. I work 12 hours a day usually as is, 10 to 12 easily. You know, 10 is usually a light time. But, you know, even in the evening, I'm working on, you know, updating the blogs, although I haven't been able to update those as much lately because the websites have been causing problems. You know about that, but that's a different conversation. They're working on that and they won't get it back. But I have tended to go to text. The thing about text is that I can scan it. I can look for salient points. And the whole video world of news, whether it is YouTube, whether it's Rumble or anything else, it's all designed to stretch things out as long as possible in order to get the ads. You know, if you have a 90-second ad or a 90-second video in which you're explaining something about a particular news story, well, you're not going to make a lot of money on that. But boy, you know, you have a 1 or 2 hour podcast on YouTube or something. Oh, man. And there's all sorts of ads that get run through it, even if you end up hitting the skip. You know, that's the whole thing. But it is interesting that research, which is now coming out, and I think it was John that sent me this. Maybe it was the Reverend David. I don't know. But one of you sent it to me. And it was a story on Russia Today, but it was originally reported on Financial Times. And what it talked about, I find fascinating. The shift from reading to consuming video content may actually be diminishing human intelligence. This, according to Financial Times in this study, human intellectual abilities such as reasoning and problem solving are dropping rapidly, possibly due to the increased exposure to visual media. Human intelligence appears to have peaked in the early 2010s, and it's been in decline ever since, the FT adding. And they were citing PISA, the International Benchmarking Test for 15-year-olds that includes reading, mathematics, and science, and adult cognitive evaluations. And the reported trend is coming amid a rise in artificial intelligence, which by some estimates, Financial Times saying, may be surpassing human IQ in a matter of years. Or at least fakely, in my opinion, you know, surpassing human IQ. In other words, taking everything humans have ever created and then just regurgitating it. But, oh, it's better. It's smart. The recorded spike, Financial Times continues, in the share of high school students who reported difficulties in the PISA tests coincides with a broad change in people's relationship with information, such as the transition away from reading and towards visual content, in other words, videos. While active, intentional use of digital technologies can often be beneficial, being passively exposed to infinite content on social media coupled with frequent context switching has been shown to negatively impact attention span, memory, and self-regulation. This documented decline in reading among Americans reportedly comes alongside a decrease in numeracy. Now, numeracy is the ability to understand numbers and conceptualize them. I've noted that for a long, long time, and other forms of problem solving in most countries. So it's not just a United States thing. It's something that they are observing around the world. And so, all right, the old song says video killed the radio star. Is video possibly killing the brain? And I do find it interesting as he talked about the passive absorbing of video. And that's what I was talking about. You know, you get stuck on YouTube and you're on the shorts and, okay, here's the couple fighting, here's the dog farting, here's the, you know, all these things. And you can just get sucked into this stuff, but then you can feel your intellect draining away too. And I was doing that last night even with Linda. I said, I got to stop. I closed it. Closed the browser. When it comes to news and information, I tend to prefer reading. I can get it more quickly. And also save it more easily. But that's just me. But I guess I'm in the minority, huh? What do you think about that? Videos dumbing us down to an extent? 770-5633. I just thought it was a really interesting article. 770-KMED. Let me go to that. It's a rest of Conspiracy Theory Thursday talk, too. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Yes, sir. This is Greg out in Central, not stating.
Hey, hi. Well, hi, Greg. How are you? What's up?
Yeah, you've been talking about the artificial intelligence and apparently reading, and then I had just the two questions. About the Holley Theater, if anybody went to the grand opening of the Holley.
No, I didn't go to the grand opening. Did you?
No, I missed it.
Okay.
And then also, how long before we get these driverless cars in Metro Oregon? Has anybody ever producing those to go through.
I'm not aware of that yet, but, get something else to not think about and learn, right, Greg? You know, just get in.
I'll have to read up on that.
Yeah. Hey, what, you can still read? What a Luddite. Teasing, you know that. Good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
This is Miner Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Facebook has got me banned from listening to or watching your video.
Why?
They said that it's a broken link or it's been removed.
Okay. Facebook.com/Bill Myers Show. I assure you it will come up.
No, it does not for me.
Okay. Well, then, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry, Dave, your phone's kicking out there. So I'm sorry you're having trouble on the online. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Yep, you're on. Who's this?
This is Rob from Eagle Point.
Hey, Rob, what are you thinking this morning? What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just listening to you about people sending you videos all the time and how just take too long to watch all those videos.
Hey, I would love to. I would love to. In fact, I could probably spend my entire off-air world watching videos that folks have suggested, and they're good ones. Don't get me wrong. But what were you thinking about that?
Oh yeah. Well, I was actually taking a course, and they had we had to watch these YouTube videos as well, and they were very painful to watch. And so what I found out is that YouTube, you can go to YouTube, but if you just Google it, there's a YouTube transcript that. Put it in a transcript and transcript the whole entire thing.
Oh.
And then I went a step further to your last, what you were talking about, AI, is then you can plug that transcript into AI and get a summary of it.
Mm-hmm. That's one way of having AI work for us in that respect, right?
Right. And save you a bunch of time and you can kind of get the gist of it. And then if there was something in there, you're like, oh, I need to research, then you can actually go back and either watch the video or read the transcript and kind of get more in depth into it.
Yeah. Are you more of a video or a text consumer? Because I'm starting to feel I'm just behind it.
No, I'm same as you. I'm a text consumer. Yeah, the video I find myself not paying attention as much after a while. I zone out.
And I get that. What I've liked about it is that the ability to take a text story or text and be able to scan it, and I'm wondering if maybe this push for video has been that. For the longest time, the kids were being taught a really bad method to learn how to read in Oregon using whole word. And we have a lot of kids graduating from high school that may not even really read that well and might not enjoy it. And boy, talk about crippling some generations here, if that's true.
True. Yeah. No, I could totally see that.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 770-5633. We have open phones, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We're delving all into things there. Trumps and judges and everything else. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Joel here.
Hi, Joel.
Yeah, we have like 4 points of interest really quick. I scan 4 radio channels daily,
mm-hmm.
and they're all good ones. And for top of the list is liars don't live as long as people that tell the truth.
Liars don't live as long? Really?
Yeah.
You know how many old Democrats there are? You know how many, there are tons of old Democrats in power right now. You sure?
I'm just having fun.
Republicans can lie just as well, okay? All right. Just having fun with you, Joel. What's the other thing you're hearing, huh?
We got in Israel, they're going to full team assault in Gaza. It's gone bananas. Those guys are liars anyway. That whole thing with, let's hold it like a ceasefire, that's just to rearm the asses.
I get it. Okay. All right. Hey, take care over in the Iron Gate, all right? Thank you, Joel. Let me keep rolling here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Vicky from the Applegate.
Hello, Vicky. How's life there?
Oh, my God. The sun is out. It's beautiful. The birds are singing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you don't have anybody panhandling. Oh, by the way, speaking about the Applegate there, I understand they want to block up some area in Jacksonville. I'm trying to get some more information about this. And so they're trying to road diet Jacksonville and put some chairs down and make it kind of like, one of these areas where you can't drive your car. So how long do you think it'll take for Jacksonville to get bums when they do something like that?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm hoping that the historical aspect of, you know, you can't hardly do anything in Jacksonville without permission. So I really don't see that happening.
I hope you're right about this, because they're doing a survey. And when you're doing a liberal survey in a kind of a liberal town, you know, who knows where that's going to happen. But yeah. But anyway, what did you, I interrupted you. What did you call them about, huh?
Well, luckily I am blessed. We really instilled in our granddaughters from a very early age with books.
Mm-hmm.
My one granddaughter, she reads several different types of books, and she loves to bake, so she's always looking in cookbooks. And my other granddaughter, who's older, she's 19 now, and she loves to read books. So I'm very blessed that my grandkids still believe in books. But I think if you really want to answer the question, if we're really dumbing down from videos,
mm-hmm.
you need to take someone who is a reader, and you also need to take someone who is a video person and do a brain testing like they do for sleep apnea, and just compare the brain activity from somebody who's absorbing through the word.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I think about my own family. It does take all kinds, even in my own. Now, the reason I'm a good reader is that my mother loved to read, and so my mother taught me, right? And so I was very blessed. That helped me out. I can't tell you how much that has helped me. I was reading at, I think, fourth or fifth grade, maybe sixth grade level in first or second grade. It was very good. It's very helpful.
My grandkids are like that.
Yeah, very helpful. And yet my father, also a very intelligent man, but he never enjoyed reading. Never enjoyed reading. If it had just been up to him, I wouldn't have had, probably there wouldn't have been books around there. So there are different people, but yet he was a very smart man and did quite well in his situation. So I'm not trying to knock. I know there are some people who are more visually oriented, and it's something that they're more into. But I do find it interesting that they're bringing up cognitive functioning in the world of, and really what they're talking about is not that you watch videos that's making you stupid, but it's the intellectual decline from, I would dare say, the social media and online platform habits that are generated, critical thinking lacking, various other things by just sitting and having it fed to you bit after bit.
I think that people that sit, it's not very hard. I mean, look at couch potatoes. That mm-hmm. one came up from some reason. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's almost like you're in a trance while you're watching TV. A lot of times, I don't have regular TV, but a lot of times, you know, I'll be watching something, and all of a sudden, you know, I can hear the TV, I can see the TV, but my mind is not on the TV. Mm-hmm. I'm not even hearing what the
TV is. Very hypnotic at times, isn't it? You're right.
Exactly. Also, it puts in a real possibility of them subliminally, you know, putting things in people's mind, and they're not even aware.
Some neuro-linguistic programming in there. See, now there's the Conspiracy Theory Thursday connection. Thank you, Vicky. Okay?
There you go.
All right. There we go. All right. No conspiracy theories. I'm just kind of looking at the price of gold and silver and just going, boy, you got gold, got silver? You probably don't have enough, but maybe you're looking at gold and silver. Let's see, silver like 33, 34, sometimes been a little bit higher. Gold's been over 3,000. I haven't checked the price of it this morning. It was like 30.85 the other day. Well, I can't help make decisions for you, but boy, they have scrap gold, scrap silver. Boy, take it to Jay Austin. They are happy to take that. There's such huge demand for it, and the valuations are incredible. You can go see them today, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Call 482-3715 if you do need an appointment. But whether you're looking for the buying, I mean, I look at the price of gold going up and thinking, I don't own enough. I don't know that much to start with, but I don't know. I look at it. I don't own enough, but maybe your mileage may vary. But talk to Jay Austin either way. They'll help you on it. Jay Austin, FortuneReserve.com.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precision and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease and quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today to get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736. CCB number 250730.
Sometimes it's a bit of a quandary at Freddy's Diner at Eagle Point.
Should I start with the Nashville wings or the mozzarella cheese sticks? Ooh, the Brownsboro Tavern burger sounds good too. Wow, look at all those sandwiches and melts. A pastrami Reuben, fresh cut fries or beer battered onion rings, maybe a fresh salad, a seafood basket. Oh man, it's complicated.
Wait till he sees the dinner menu. Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Freddy's Diner, open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and I'll show you something other dealers won't. That's right, the invoice on any new Ford vehicle on the lot. Hey, if it's not posted on the vehicle, come inside and I'll show it to you. Once you see the invoice, let's talk about a price that's fair to both of us. It's the simple, friendly way I like to sell new Fords. And since March is Ford Truck Month, I've got an F-150 lease deal where your monthly payment is only $275 a month, and you get 2 years or 25,000 miles of maintenance included. All for $275 a month on a new Ford F-150. Hey, if I had more time, I'd also tell you about the $10,000 discounts on Escapes and Broncos and a super low lease deal that I've got on a Mach-E that goes from 0 to 60 in 3.3 seconds. Come on down and test drive that one. Invoices posted, $10,000 discounts, low lease payments where? Butler Ford in Ashland. Just 12 short minutes down the freeway, exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, your pre-owned, and all invoices posted.
36-month lease with $7,500 cash or trade due at signing on VIN number E52552 with selling price of $48,000 after all rebates and discounts on approved credit through Ford Motor Financing. Excludes tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fees. See dealer for details.
If you're going on a spring road trip, click on the travel report on KMED.com. We have changing road conditions, road cams, and gas prices throughout the region. Be prepared with the travel report on KMED.com. Sponsored by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
Bruce writes me this morning and says, hey, Bill, yesterday on Town Hall News, they said that splashdown in the Gulf of Mexico, I thought it is now the Gulf of America. Yeah, according to President Trump, it is, but old habits die. And gosh, I guess really at this point, we just call it whatever we want, huh? All right. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. We'll talk again tomorrow.
If your home computer has issues, call Techno.